Welcome to the March 2026 News Bulletin podcast for Yacht and Small Craft Marine Surveyors, put together by the International Institute of Marine Surveying. We open our podcast with an introduction from IIAMS CEO Mike Schwartz. Dear member and fellow marine professionals, this month I want to address the matter of recurring safety issues in our industry, and I pose the simple question, to which there is no easy answer: what are the barriers to progress? Of course, I don't have the answers. But as a joined-up, interconnected industry, perhaps we could do as we seek to make incisive inroads into ship, crew and vessel safety. Over the years, the realization for enhanced safety training and mechanisms has grown and is now accepted as the norm, as have their implementation, but still, we see the same old type of incidents and accidents reoccurring. So, do we have an issue with the safety culture and why are we not learning from history and the past? Let me set out the topics I would like to briefly talk about in this month's column to simulate thought and debate. In no order of importance, they are continuous, repeating accidents at sea in general, many of which are fatal, enclosed space deaths and pilot ladder fatalities. In early January, I joked with my colleague, Francis Burkett, who maintains our annual accident calendar, about how quiet things had been in the first week of the new year. But not really a joking matter, and I had spoken too soon. Because the following weeks of January brought sad news of a plethora of worldwide accidents involving ship fires, numerous groundings, ferry capsizes, fishing vessel sinkings, multiple fatalities and more. I know, as you know, that the sea is such a dangerous environment in which to operate, but I question how many of these incidents were due to the human element. Time will tell. When I joined IIAMS 12 years ago, I was horrified to learn about the number of deaths in enclosed spaces. They were a regular occurrence and fatalities were high. Roll on a decade or more and the situation seems no better. Well, that is what last year's statistics would seem to suggest. Again, my question is simply why. Training is in place, of course, but is it to do with a lack of personal risk assessment, poor judgment, or just becoming complacent? And finally, pilot deaths, another vexing subject, which is not as much debated as it perhaps could be. I suspect this is because maritime pilot deaths are fortunately quite rare, but I am aware of two fatal accidents already in 2026. In the recent MAIB investigation report into the pilot fatality on board Finhawk, Chief Inspector of Accidents, Captain Andrew Moll OBE, said, "While superficially this was a simple accident, our investigation identified safety concerns across the training, equipment, medical standards and emergency response, and this report addresses all of these. Nobody should go to work and not return at the end of the day. One of the primary roles of the marine surveyor is to do all they can to preserve the safety of life at sea, as well as keeping cargo and valuable assets safe and secure. Please, as an industry, can we come together to redouble our efforts to improve safety standards and decrease the number of fatal accidents at sea? It is some while since we added to our collection of handy guides, but I am delighted to say with the publication, What a Marine Surveyor Needs to Know About Marine Classification Society and Statutory Surveys, an introduction, we have now reached 30 in total. Immediate past president, Peter Broad, has authored this one, which will be of use to anyone thinking of undertaking this type of work. The same author is also working on another handy guide covering the subject of giving expert witness. Survey well, Mike. Our second story highlights this year's IIAMS Baltimore Conference. Despite one of the most severe winter storms for many years and heavy snowfall blanketing the Baltimore area, it did little to dampen the spirits of the delegates who managed to get to the venue, nor those who joined virtually from the warmth of their own accommodation, of course. The annual conference, county hosted by James, Randy, Wren, honorary fellowship member, Ray Bracken full member, and Mike Schwartz, took place at the MIT AGS facility on the outskirts of Baltimore and drew an audience of around 50 delegates, including a number of non-members. Bill Wayant tackled the thorny subject of surveyor ethics, delivering a reminder of the values and high standards to be met by all marine surveyors at all times. Craig Norton, Inspect X, gave delegates a deep dive into the world of AI and some of the GPTs that are available, their strengths and weaknesses and how surveyors can take advantage of them in a controlled fashion. Pat Durham displayed his extensive knowledge to highlight and bring to the attention of those present the dangers and challenges of lithium-ion batteries. John Mallall gave an in-depth update on health and safety issues affecting all surveyors with a sharp reminder that things can and do go wrong. Chase Eshelman spoke eloquently about giving expert witness and mentioned an increasing shortage of those coming forward to do this work. Andrew Kinsey presented on the relationship between surveyor and underwriter and explained what is expected. Other topics that featured over the 2 days included dealing with mold and termite attack on boats and water sampling. The event was brought to a close by Lloyd Griffin with his ever-popular, regular You Can't Make This Up review with photographs of some of the crazy things he has seen on survey in recent weeks. And for our next report, the United States Coast Guard has sent out a warning following a manufacturer recall of nearly 50,000 affected signal flares. The Coast Guard Office of Design and Engineering Standards was notified of a manufacturer recall of the Orion Skyblazer 2 Red XLT aerial signal, also called Orion XLT Skyblazer self-contained red meteor flare, due to 3 incidents of spontaneous combustion. There were no reported injuries. Affected flares were manufactured between March 1, 2025, and November 24, 2025, and have expiration dates of August 2028 through April 2029. You can find out more at IIMS USA website. In our next segment, the Sailors Society, IIMS President Captain Ruchendale's chosen charity, has a range of exciting fundraising challenges to take part in 2026. Created for maritime professionals, these events offer unique opportunities to make new connections and build on existing ones. They include the TCS London Marathon My Way 2026 on the 26th of April, cycling or hiking event Miles for Mariners held on the Isle on the 13th of June, and Trekking Challenge Summit for seafarers up Mount Fanzipan in Vietnam from the 27th to the 30th of November. Come and support our cause at sailors-society.org. Next, the Australian Maritime Safety Authority Marine Incident Annual Report 2024 revealed AMSIR received 5,625 marine incident reports, a 2.8% increase from the previous year. This report provides an analysis of marine incidents reported in the 2024 calendar year, along with trends from 2020 to 2024, for domestic commercial vessels, foreign flagged vessels and regulated Australian vessels. In 2024, AMSIR received a total of 1,182 reports of marine incidents involving DC versus. This represents an increase of 5% from 2023 and a 55.5% increase in the number of marine incident reports from DC versus since 2020. In 2024, there were 3 fatal DC 5th marine incidents which resulted in 4 operational-related fatalities. In 2024, AMSIR received a total of 258 reports of marine incidents involving RA versus. This represents a decrease of 3.4% from 2023. Consistent with port arrivals data, most marine incident reports from foreign flagged vessels in 2024 were from bulk carriers. In 2024, there was 1 operational-related seafarer fatality on a foreign flagged vessel. There were no passenger fatalities reported in 2024. You can download the report via the AMSIR website. Up next, the recreational boating market in Spain closed 2025 with stable performance compared to 2024 and with positive growth in the last quarter of the year, especially in the shorter length segments, according to the 2025 recreational boating market report, prepared by ANEN based on data from the Directorate General of the Merchant Marine. During the year as a whole, 4,992 recreational boats were registered in Spain, representing a slight decrease of 0.9% compared to 2024, while the rental market registered 1,418 registrations, minus 19.3%, with a more pronounced adjustment after the strong growth experienced in previous years. Registrations of recreational boats showed weaker performance until May, followed by a strong recovery in the last quarter, which allowed the year to close with a stabilizing trend. December saw a 14% increase, confirming the improved market momentum in the final stretch of the year. You can read the full report at www.anen.es. In our next report, the Australian Maritime Safety Authority is running a nationwide inspection campaign focusing on hazardous gases on domestic commercial vessels from the 2nd of February until the 30th of April 2026. The aim of the campaign is to ensure that vessel owners, operators and crew understand the risks associated with hazardous gases and are complying with the requirements of Marine Order 504. It is targeting domestic commercial vessels with sewage and organic waste systems, engines, generators and fuel-burning appliances, and stored high-pressure gases. Inspectors will look for documented risk assessment and procedures for hazardous gases, crew training on hazardous gas identification and response, information signage provided to Class 4 hirers regarding hazardous gases, and sufficient ventilation in sanitary facilities. Inspectors will make focused inspections in conjunction with regular domestic commercial vessel inspections using a checklist. Where a deficiency is found against the checklist, the inspector will discuss it with the person in charge of the vessel with a view to ensuring the vessel is brought into compliance. Find out more, including the inspection checklist, at www.iiamsaustralia.com.au. Up next, a crew member died after a fishing vessel capsized and sank off the Irish coast. A report into the incident, which took place 2 years ago, has been released by the Irish Marine Casualty Investigation Board, concluding the investigation. On the 12th of December 2023, at approximately 0500 hours, the fishing vessel Ben Thomas departed Port Oriel, Claherhead, County Louth, with two crew members on board. This was only the second day this vessel had been operated by this crew. Fishing operations commenced close to Dunany Point, County Louth, which is approximately 4.5 nautical miles north of Port Oriel. The vessel operated a hydraulic dredge to catch razor clams, which is a species of mollusk. The skipper helmed the vessel and operated the winch during cage deployment and recovery, while the other crew member worked on deck at the stern gantry, opening the cage to release and process the catch. Having completed a number of fishing operations that morning, the Ben Thomas capsized and sank prior to 0800 hours while recovering the dredge cage on board. Both crew members were working on deck, and they entered the water at the same time. Neither was wearing a personal flotation device. The skipper donned a PFD he found floating close by and held onto other floating debris to remain afloat. At approximately 08:30, a crew member on the deck of another fishing vessel working close by heard someone calling for help. After a brief search, the skipper of the Ben Thomas was found and recovered on board. The skipper, who is likely to have been experiencing hypothermia, was brought ashore to Port Oriel and awaiting ambulance at 1100 hours. The search for the second crew member continued over the following 2 days. On the morning of the 14th of December 2023, Naval Service divers recovered the casualty's body from the seabed. The vessel has not been recovered. The cause of the capsize and sinking of the Ben Thomas is likely to have been the overturning effects of a heavily laden dredge cage as it was being recovered on board. A contributory factor is likely to have been the vessel's low level of residual stability at this stage of the fishing operations. The stability of the Ben Thomas was last evaluated by means of a rolling period test, carried out on the 25th of June 2021 during the COP survey. The COP survey's DOC indicates that the vessel complied with the COP stability requirements. However, the details of any vessel modifications undertaken following the 2021 COP survey could not be confirmed. The data recorded for the rolling test does not include details to show positive evidence of compliance with the COP. The vessel was outside the dimensional parameters intended for the COP stability formula, thereby requiring that special care should be applied in the circumstances. Despite this, the formula was used to determine this vessel's stability parameters apparently without question, without evidence recorded in the test report of what special care was applied. The approach taken in the COP to determining a vessel's stability does not recognize that landing the catch is a condition that will produce the lowest values for a vessel's stability parameters. You can read the full report through our website in the news section. Next, the hazards posed by small lithium-ion batteries can be devastating, says P&I Club North Standard. From handheld radios, cell phones, and power banks to vapes and flashlights, lithium-ion batteries are everywhere on board vessels. While the maritime industry has rightly focused on the dangers of lithium-ion battery fires on car carriers and container vessels, the hazards posed by small lithium-ion batteries are often overlooked and can be just as devastating in confined shipboard environments. Real fires, real lessons. Bridge blaze on tanker. A handheld radio battery overheated and ignited, burning down the bridge navigation and communication equipment, causing $3 million in damage. Cabin combustion. Rechargeable power bank, vapes, and cell phones left charging overnight have sparked fires in crew quarters, often due to unsupervised charging or poor storage. Power bank peril. A crew member's power bank exploded during charging in a locker, igniting nearby clothing and causing smoke inhalation injuries. The P&I Club shared some smart safety practices for small lithium-ion batteries on board, including tips covering responsible purchase, vessel and personal use, storage and handling, charging, inspection and maintenance, emergency preparedness, disposal and documentation, and crew awareness and training. You can read the full article at north-standard.com. In our next report, safety warning issued after deckhand killed by chain failure on scallop dredger. Owners and operators of beam and scallop trawlers have been urged to inspect their vessels' quick release arrangements after a deckhand was fatally injured by chain failure in 2023. The Marine Accident Investigation Branch added that any necessary changes should be made to the equipment or its operation to ensure the safety of crew working on deck. On 6 October 2023, a deckhand on Honeybourn III was fatally injured when he was struck by a towing block that had fallen from the head of the port derrick. A section of chain supporting the fishing gear failed, allowing the suspended gear to fall to the deck, striking and fatally injuring the deckhand who was working below as it fell. Safety issues identified include the following. The combination of high loading and bending moments in the outer chain links of the quick-release assembly led over a static pin increased stress in the chain links. It is likely that the chain link strength on the port quick-release gear was reduced by its material hardness. The program of onboard inspection of lifting equipment did not identify patent defects in Honeybourn III's lifting equipment. Recommendations. The Maritime and Coast Guard Agency has been recommended to take steps, using the relevant powers provided by Sections 261 Improvement Notices and 262 Prohibition Notices of the Merchant Shipping Act 1995, to reduce the substantial risk presented by the use of a chain led over a static pin as the sole means of supporting a suspended load, and to update its instructions for the guidance of surveyors to incorporate a verification that the actions contained in its Safety Bulletin 20 have been completed. The MAIB has since issued Safety Bulletin along with a safety flyer to the fishing industry. You can find both at iims.org.uk/news. Up next, fire damages Australian boat manufacturing factory. A fire hit fiberglass boat manufacturer Haynes Hunter Australia, damaging the moulding section of its factory in Derrimut, Victoria. Firefighters managed to bring the fire under control after several hours. All staff were safely evacuated with no serious injuries reported. The incident is not connected to Haynes Hunter in New Zealand. In a statement, the company said, "Haynes Hunter would like to provide an update to our customers, dealers, suppliers, and the wider boating community following a fire that occurred in our moulding section. This incident has been a difficult moment for our business and has caused disruption to our operations. However, the most important outcome is that all staff were safely evacuated, accounted for at our emergency meeting point, and returned safely to their families. We are incredibly grateful that no lives were lost and no serious injuries were sustained. We would like to sincerely thank the CFA for their outstanding efforts. Their professionalism, speed, and compassion while working in extremely challenging conditions were nothing short of remarkable. The weather played a major contributing role in the severity of the incident, and the CFA's ability to contain and bring the fire under control so quickly prevented even greater damage. We are also fortunate that the majority of our Haynes Hunter molds were not affected by the fire. With the exception of a few that were lost or damaged, our core tooling remains intact, and plans are already in place to rebuild those molds as quickly as possible. Over the coming weeks and months, we will be working through the process of rebuilding and restoring our factory. During this time, we will also be strategically planning our best options moving forward, using this moment not just to recover, but to strengthen our operations and position Haynes Hunter for an even stronger future. While this will take time, our focus is clear: to get back on track as soon as possible and rebuild stronger than ever. We have been deeply touched by the overwhelming support we have received from fellow fishermen and boaters, our customers, dealers, suppliers, and the broader community. Your messages of encouragement, offers of help, and understanding during this time mean more to us than words can express. Haynes Hunter has always been built on resilience, craftsmanship, and community, and those values will guide us through this recovery. We thank everyone for their patience, support, and belief in our brand as we move forward. We look forward to updating you as our rebuilding progresses and to welcoming you back to a revitalized Haynes Hunter factory in the near future. That's all we have for this month. Thanks for listening.